14, 14, 14, 15?
14, 14.
14, 14, one at a time. Okay, 14, 14, please.
Amend the official city zoning map, planning and zoning code, and transportation system plan to carry out Portland's 2035 comprehensive plan, establish a new community involvement program and committee, amend related codes, the 2035 comprehensive plan, and plan map to coordinate policies and programs.
Mr. Engstrom, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. As we get started, I want to just remind you what we're adopting, because we've been here more than once in the last few years. This is the ordinance which would adopt zoning code and zoning map amendments to implement the new comprehensive plan that you adopted in June. It also includes phase two of the TSP update, including updated bicycle classifications. As Carla mentioned, a new community involvement program also intended to implement the policies in the new comp plan. You're also accepting a report from the Community Involvement Committee, which has been our watchdog to oversee process during this work. And several other directions are included in the ordinance per some of your earlier amendments. Where we are in the process is you met on the 22nd of November to consider amendments to the package after having a hearing on those amendments on the 17th. And you have before you now a substitute ordinance with exhibits that correspond to the adopted amendments. The next step beyond today, assuming this goes to second reading, would be staff is going to be submitting the package to DLCD for their review and acknowledgement. There'll be several follow-up projects that are following up per the directions you've given us in the ordinance. And then we'll gear up for staff training to implement this on January 1, 2018, working with PBOT and BDS in particular. And I think in terms of process, as I mentioned, this is the first reading of the substitute ordinance. We brought the record with the testimony from that time. This is not a hearing about about new amendments, so I believe today, although you're going to want to ask if anyone has comments, the nature of that is focused on just the ordinance and the findings that are new.
Okay, thank you. So the action before us this afternoon is to make a motion and take action on adoption of the substitute. The substitute captures all of the amendments that we brought forward, considered, and adopted. That retuned the plan in many cases and on many particular sites and in a number of policy issues. We have a couple of clarification items that we need to act on, right?
Correct.
On the exhibits.
Yeah, and I can walk you through. There's two clarifications that we just want to be sure that you understood. One is that we've brought a revised Exhibit H for you today, which should have been passed out. During the amendment process, Commissioner Fritz made some amendments to Title III language, which is related to the Community Involvement Committee appointment process. And we realized after the fact that the verbal description of the amendment that was discussed and the written description didn't exactly match. And I believe it was the commissioner's intent that the council confirm the appointees to that committee. And that was not how it was written on the amendment. So we want to just have you re-accept that motion to adopt that amendment with that language, which is reflected in the revised Exhibit H.
Would you like us to do that now?
Sure. Go ahead then, Commissioner.
So moved.
I'll second that. Any further discussion on accepting the updated Exhibit H? And I don't believe we need to take testimony on that, since that's simply clarification. We'll take testimony on the adoption of the substitute if there is any. Okay, let's take a vote, please, on that clarification.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz? Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Hales? Aye. And then Exhibit O?
This is essentially a typo, but since it was written incorrectly when you actually voted, we want to just be sure you understood. There was an Exhibit O, which is the list of sites you'd like us to reconsider and do further research on and come back later. One of the addresses was off by one number, and it should have been 506. Northeast Thompson rather than 505, and we just want to correct the record there, so we've substituted that. You don't have a new version of that because we caught it before we distributed the larger package.
We just do that as a stenographer's mistake or scrivener's error.
We just want you to be aware that we corrected it, so I don't think it requires a...
So I'm glad I'm not the only one who does that.
I mean, noted as a correction.
Since it involved an address.
Okay.
I've moved, and I still use my old zip code.
Okay, so then I will move the substitute ordinance as further amended by our revision to these exhibits. Is there a second for
second.
That? And then is there anyone that wants to testify before the council takes action on accepting the substitute? If not, then roll call vote on accepting the substitute, please.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Hales?
We'll have a few more things to say next week, Mr. Engstrom, about you and the rest of this team and your good work on this, but this is a mammoth undertaking, as the paper stack indicates, but only a little bit is really revealed by the size of the stack of paper, the thousands of people that participated, and a significant revision of the direction that we're taking as a city to accommodate growth. So I'll have more to say then, but I really appreciate the good work, as always, from this Bureau, and this is the map for our city to be a city of 850,000 people. So the weight of that number has been on our minds and our shoulders the whole time, and I think we got it right. All right. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next week for second reading at 2 p.m. on the 21st.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well done. Unfortunately, we didn't schedule these items without a break, and so we have to adopt 1415, but then maybe that's going to take us a little while, but we'll probably have to take a break before 3. So let's take 1415.
How terrible that
oh,
would be.
Oh, what? Time off? What are we doing?
I hope you join me outside for some sledding.
Yeah. 1415, please, Carla.
1415. Adopt a connectivity strategy for comprehensive plan centers in eastern neighborhoods.
Commissioner Novick, do you have some comments?
Well, I was told that since this was the mayor's idea, he would have some comments. But I've got comments for both of us.
Okay, go right ahead.
I'll read mine first, and then maybe I'll pay you yours. Earlier this year, we adopted a new comp plan policy calling for the creation of new connections through blocks to improve access to community destinations in the eastern neighborhoods pattern area. This ordinance builds on an already existing city code requirement and requires no changes to Title 17 or Title 33. The ordinance provides further guidance on the application of existing street connectivity requirements when redevelopment occurs in designated centers in eastern neighborhoods. In addition, this council action would direct PBOT to consider whether developers who create new street or pathway connections should receive transportation system development charge credit as part of the TSDC update currently underway.
Yeah, the only thing I'd add is that this, this is technical stuff, and some people's eyes glaze over when we work on this kind of thing, but ours don't, because I think we understand how important this is. And from my view, the hardest thing in urban planning today is very different than the hardest thing was 20 years ago. Maybe the hardest thing 20 years ago is, how do we build urban buildings, and does anybody want to live in them? Well, we've answered those two questions. But now the question is, how do you take formerly suburban places and carefully, incrementally, inclusively actually make them urban? And that challenge is really in front of you and all the other planners working on these issues now in this comp plan and going forward. We've got a lot of the city that was built around the car and the car only, and really not even with good circulation for cars in some cases. So this effort to try to carefully knit those pieces of the city together is really important. So, Denver, thank you.
Yeah, that's a major challenge, yes. Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Denver Agarda. I'm a senior transportation planner with the Portland Bureau of Transportation. So following up on your action on the comprehensive plan early implementation package, 3 weeks ago, you approved one amendment, number 50, which directed PBOT to prepare the ordinance that's here before you today. This ordinance advances new policy direction that was adopted in June with the comprehensive plan. Specifically, it calls for new connections in eastern neighborhoods, and also for future street connection plans in centers, the areas that are targeted for the most growth and change over the next 20 years. Historically, Portland has placed requirements on development to meet street spacing standards. This has produced the gridded street networks that you're familiar with in inner neighborhoods. Our existing street spacing standards per our comprehensive plan policies, TSP objectives, and the city code are 530 feet between full street connections and 330 feet between pedestrian and bicycle connections. We also adopt street plans in some areas to define where we anticipate new streets to be located. In some areas where there's not the spacing standard that's required, we adopt these street plans to guide the alignment and function of those new connections. Gateway Regional Center is one example. It's had a conceptual street plan since 2000. It was last updated in 2009. So that's one example, but there are several of these citywide. As one step towards advancing those policies I mentioned a moment ago, PBOT obtained funding for the current fiscal year 16-17 to carry out a Connected Center Street Plan, which is a more comprehensive planning effort to assess connectivity and needs, opportunities for new connections in the J District and the Rosewood Neighborhood Center. The outcome will be a tailored plan for connectivity specific to those areas, and that plan will also create a model that we can use in other centers citywide for achieving connectivity. That'll be completed next year. Another step to advance the connectivity policies is the ordinance that's before you today, the connectivity strategy for centers and eastern neighborhoods. This would adopt a strategy to achieve connectivity in these centers. As you can see in the map, they're shown in dark gray. The strategy offers further guidance on the already existing city code. In essence, it would strengthen our commitment and resolve to improving accessibility and connectivity in these centers. The aim is to avoid missing connections and opportunities for new connections as development occurs with the newly adopted zoning code. Most importantly, where the connections are needed the most, which is in these centers, in eastern neighborhoods, where we lack basic connectivity and level of service from our street network. The parcels that are furthest away from a parallel street and the parcels that are larger in size. So that's essentially what the ordinance directs PBOT to do. At the same time, it also directs PBOT to look at the potential for credit to developers who create new street connections as part of the transportation system plan, system development charge update that's underway. Again, this ordinance would not change existing city code. The final slide I wanted to show is from the comp plan investment strategy. The circles that are shown on this chart are centers citywide. The ones that are further to the right are the centers that are targeted to accommodate the most more growth. The ones that are at the top are the centers that are most efficient in infrastructure. The dark red circles are centers with higher than average concentrations of vulnerable residents. And the centers in the eastern neighborhoods that are shown on the map that's being adopted with this ordinance are the ones shown in yellow. So as you can see, these are primarily the ones that are most efficient of the centers, and also the ones that are in those areas with higher vulnerable residents.
Now, the size of the circle again represents?
It represents the type of center. So we have Central City, which is the largest, and then the regional centers, Gateway, and then the town centers are the next one down. The neighborhood centers are the newly adopted centers that we adopted in June.
Thank you. That's
great. So I have a question. The blocks downtown are 200 by 200. So I'm wondering why we would want more connectivity for pedestrians and setting it at 165.
Well, the way that works is it's the connectivity standard is actually 330 between pedestrian connections. But what this strategy says is the parcels that are 165 feet from the nearest connection. So if you have two connections that are spaced 330 feet apart, the furthest any parcel would be the 165. So it's the same as our standard. So it actually is 330 feet between pedestrian connections. Rather than downtown, we have 200 feet block frontages, so it's 200 feet between full street connections. So it actually is further apart than the downtown grid.
I'm not following that.
The specific strategy is talking about the parcel. So if you have a property and it's on a block that has the standard spacing, which is 330 feet between a pedestrian connection, the furthest that parcel can be from the closest connection is 165 feet. So that's where the 165 feet comes from.
And Denver, to clarify, downtown with the 200-foot blocks, the furthest you can be from a connection is 100 feet.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's the relative.
Did we require pedestrian connections through city blocks downtown?
No, because it's already a parcel would be no more than 100 feet away, so it wouldn't need, it would already meet the standard.
Right. Wherever you are downtown, you're no more than 100 feet from a connection, because they're 200-foot blocks. If you're smack in the middle, you're 100 feet away.
That's correct.
So the idea here is to make sure that in these centers, you're no more than 165 feet away, which would be midway through a 330-foot block.
That's correct.
And what about the 265?
So that's our standard street spacing, which is 530 feet between full street connections. So that's where motor vehicles have access, essentially, is the distinction.
Which is 10 per mile, right?
Yeah, that's right. 10 per mile, exactly. That's where that standard comes from.
Well, again, in some of the outer neighborhoods, the block is 200 by 450. Yeah. And we wouldn't, so this seems like that would, half of that would be 225, and now we're saying 265.
So yeah, it's our standard street spacing, the 330 ped connection and the 530 feet between full street connections is a metro regional transportation plan standard that we have adopted.
So is this intended to be the same as other neighborhoods, the same as downtown? What is the comparator? Why did you choose those numbers?
It's because that's what our existing code is. It's not a change to the existing code. Our existing code has, on the earlier slide, I showed the spacing for pedestrian connections is 330, and the street connections is 530. So there's no change to what's already in the code. This is just specifying where the parcel would be in relationship to the next parallel street. So there's not a change.
What's your underlying concern?
Well, just are we making it connected enough? And also, or are we being more restrictive here requiring more streets here than we do downtown?
No.
And how does it reflect the lot pattern in East Portland with more of the junior acre type places?
Yeah, so that's part of what we're doing is with this, we're emphasizing the centers is, you know, the areas where we anticipate the most growth, the areas where we anticipate, in effect, the most pedestrian activity. So we're trying to achieve the connectivity that we have as a standard citywide. That's partly why I was explaining the Connected Centers Plan project, because for Jade and Rosewood, what we're trying to do is come up with a more tailored approach strategy for eastern neighborhoods. And so as a part of that process, we'll have a tailored street plan for that center. And our hope is that we can use that as a model to do more tailored street plans in the other centers that don't have street plans.
I'm sorry to be dense on this. It's been quite a day. You're in the middle of a block, and you're 265 feet from either parallel street. That's more than in my neighborhood, where it's 450 for the long axis of the block.
Our current standard would require that a new street connection be improved if it's triggered by the development. So that's our current standard.
Well, let me maybe probe into it from a different angle, because I think I understand your conundrum with the math, but it's not about the math. It's about, are we being reasonable and equitable across neighborhoods? And are we working with the pattern that's there?
Yeah.
Is the way I would put it. Yeah. You know, the pattern is there. It can get better through more connectivity, but because of how it was platted the first time, there's some limitations to how good it's ever going to get from a pure planning standpoint. So is that 265-foot rhythm the right one to take advantage of whatever the lotting pattern already is in Eastport One or in the areas that that would be imposed.
And now that I understand where you're standing in the middle, in a not town center neighborhood like mine, you would require a street that's closer together than what we're requiring here.
So this, yeah, what this is would be in those centers that are shown on the map and not in, in the neighborhood.
The block length would be 200 by 550, right, under this?
The block lengths, the block spacing would be for full streets 530 feet between full street connections.
Both directions.
Right, and in my neighborhood, it's 450. So why is it greater in a town center than it would be in a neighborhood like mine that doesn't have any semblance of a town center?
Yeah, it's just the current standard that we have in place.
But maybe that should change too. I see.
That's what
I'm
saying. Yeah.
No, I think that's true. It's part of, again, why we are doing this connected centers street plan, is to do some more detailed analysis to identify the opportunities and see realistically how we can produce the connectivity that we will need in these areas.
So as you, because you're not codifying this now.
No.
So as you go into codifying this, I think that's a good question.
It is a good question, yes.
Yeah, we shouldn't be bound by either old policy or metro policy.
Yeah.
But we're going to exceed the intent of metro policy, obviously, with what we're doing. But it ought to be reflective of both the reality of how that district got laid out in the first place, how that part of the city got laid out in the first place. Sort of what's our best scenario in the future, and what's the street spacing for that? And then are we getting it right in terms of increasing that frequency of connection in centers, which is what the map appears to be doing?
Yeah, we recognize that citywide standards have not been as successful, and that we need to tailor our approaches to the pattern areas for the direction of the comp plan.
But leaving aside measuring from the middle, here the blocks are going to be 350 by 550, right?
Here the blocks for full street connections would be 530 feet.
Yeah. So that I guess I'm asking if you to go back and look at is a very kind of, well, not rural, but certainly outer neighborhood pattern of streets the right thing in our town centers, and our more particularly in these business areas that we really want more connectivity than would be standard in a residential area.
Yeah, I guess, again, one of the philosophical drivers behind this is, look, the real estate market is really good. A lot of stuff's going to get redeveloped over the next 20 years. Got a second chance to get it right, albeit with some constraints on what's actually possible, you know, at 122nd and Division. Yeah. But we should go as far down that direction towards real connectivity as is feasible in that environment, and not worry. You know, we just were talking about the South Waterfront, very different situation, but come on, the developers there can afford to build some streets as that redevelopment occurs, and I don't think that's going to not be true 5 years from now. So do you feel a need to amend what we have, Amanda, or do you think?
Yeah, I don't think it's intense enough for a town center, particularly under B2, which is where it says about the halfway being 165 and 265, that is fewer street connections than in an outer neighborhood.
Do I understand that would be changing the current standard?
No.
This doesn't change the standard.
It doesn't.
What I'm saying is,
yeah,
I think we should be.
Yeah. So with the direction we had, we recognize that we were not having the time to propose a code change before the adoption, and so we were working within the existing code, which gives us the authority to make the required connections at the spacing standard we currently have.
And does this go into effect right now? Does it go into effect in 2018?
It does, yes.
Right now or later?
Right now.
So that's, I'm comfortable with making this, because at least we want this, right?
Yeah.
But then could we add, Commissioner, Part D that directs you to go back and look at actually what kinds of connectivity do we want in each of these areas?
Can I offer a second to that amendment?
That's kind of good direction.
Denver, if that makes sense.
That's good direction. That's
I also just wanted to note that This was prepared pursuant to an amendment we approved on November 22nd. So there's been a rather short turnaround time on this.
Right. And I really appreciate you getting it, and also the explanation that now helps me to understand it. So, yes, I think we should definitely adopt these as an absolute minimum, but probably we're going to want to have at least 200 by 450, if not 200 by 200, in some of these areas.
Why don't we treat that as an amendment with a second?
So the sense of the amendment is PBOT's going to report back with recommendations for revised spacing standards.
Yes. And it might be different in each of the areas, depending on what
For each of the areas.
Divisions.
The only thing I want to say in support of the amendment is, given the morning we had, I am astonished that Amanda is able to focus on this level of detail. My brain is already frazzled, but I'll have some
Halloween candy under my desk.
I would move the amendment.
Okay, so make sure I've got the sense of the amendment. This is PBOT's going to report back with recommended revised spacing standards for each center.
Thank you.
Further discussion on that amendment, which is going to be a new item D under the council directs. Anyone want to speak on that amendment? Roll call.
Thank you, Commissioner. Aye.
I really hope you appreciate you helping me puzzle it through, because usually I think of these things 10 minutes too late. So thank you. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Hales.
Not too late at all. Aye. Okay. Anyone else want to speak on this strategy overall?
Mayor, I have a comment.
Yes, please.
It's not directly related. Will you give me the indulgence?
Of course.
We went long today, and therefore we missed a very important event, which was the groundbreaking on the new county health building.
Mm. Ah.
Congratulations to Chair Kafouri
for
moving that forward. But you said something a few minutes ago that stuck in my head, which is you talked about moving from a suburban style to an urban style form. And if I may, just very quickly, about 7 or 8 years ago, or just after Amanda and I got on the council, we had a plan for what was called a resource access center. And it was on Block U, and I think you all remember there was a lot of history about where it would be located,
right.
A lot of controversy, but ended up in Block U. And as the new housing commissioner, I was presented with a diagram that showed a 2- and 3-story building on Block U that was going to be this fantastic new resource access center designed by Hulst Architecture, one of our great firms, and it was a big community win. And I was having breakfast with our friend Al Solheim, who knows something about development, and I was describing this project in the pipeline, and he looked at me kind of crooked, and he said, why on earth would you put a 3-story building in the middle of downtown on a block like that? And so he took the napkin at the diner, and he redesigned it. And he just said, what if instead of taking the whole block, you stack the building? And he said, by the way, you'd want to put it on Broadway because you want to have the nicest building adjacent to the street to have the streetscape. So I took his napkin, which I think I have somewhere.
It's good to keep those napkins.
Yeah. And I went back to, the team. And then those days it was Margaret Van Vliet. It was Steve Rudman. It was PDC, the architect, the certified, and Doreen Binder. Mm-hmm. And I said, Al Solheim said, why are we doing a 3-story building? Why isn't it urban form built? Well, Hulst, being the geniuses they are, came back with a new concept where they just stacked the building. And since the whole block was going to be designed and divided into 3 quadrants, they just stacked the quadrants and created an urban form building. Well, that would be a great story if that was the end of the story. But what it did is it opened up the second half of Block U. And that was now found space. City, I think on your watch, or either just before you came in or just after you came in, the city finalized a transfer where we donated the space to the county.
Right.
And then under a previous deal around urban renewal money that I think Jeff Kogan negotiated, where the county got some money in exchange for agreeing to a new boundaries in the River District, the county then came in and said, we want to put a county health building there. And if we had not, and today the groundbreaking on a beautiful building that Deborah is leading, designed by ZRZ, but to your point, if we had gone with a suburban style 2- or 3-story structure there, we would not have the county health building there. Now we have 2 distinguished buildings which will be side by side because we observe the urban form. And I want to just do a shout out to Al Solheim because I wasn't smart enough to catch that.
You're smart enough to pick up on it, though. And now it's going to be, in effect, overshadowed by the scale of what happens on the post office site. So it would have looked even more absurd to have a suburban scale development there where the Bud Clark Commons.
Well, what an irony, because the post office site wasn't even a twinkle in our eye, and the county had to actually go back to the neighborhood and get permission for a taller building.
Right, I remember that.
Because we weren't sure whether it was out of scale. Now it's actually one of the more modest buildings.
Yeah, and that's why this stuff, you know, is so important, because that's a concrete building. It'll be there for 200 years. You know, nobody is going to move Broadway. I mean, Broadway is going to be where it is forever. And so that's why this work, you know, we get one second chance on these areas that have the wrong street spacing. Because the first time around, it was cheap cinder block buildings that are going to last less than 50 years and they're going to go away. But when somebody builds a four-story concrete building on that site, that street's never moving. So that's why the work they're doing now on this is really important. Get it right the second time, because we won't get a third chance. So good stuff. Okay, anyone else to be heard on this item? So it's going to pass to second reading as amended, right, next week with the comp plan, correct? Got that right? Good work. Thank you. We're going to take a 20-minute recess and come back at 3 o'clock for our final item today. We'll see you about tomorrow.